All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, January 22nd of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have PGA action underway. Good luck to all of you playing some golf this weekend. For the rest of the day, we have a six-game NBA slate, eight-game NHL slate. We have 16 matches of tennis, and then we have some League of Legends action tonight as well. So, should be a fun day of DFS. Those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We did have a number of questions come in prior to the show. So we will start there. And then we will see where things go. So, got SaberSim pulled up, got the NBA main slate pulled up. Going to work questions top down here. First question, early office hours question for tomorrow. If I wanted to create a lineup to enter into cash contests, but didn't want to use the optimizer, what would be the best way to build and sort the lineup pool to find this lineup? For example, would I sort on projection or would it ever make sense to use SaberScore? Or something else, I'm thinking it may be good to use correlation to remove any negatively correlated players that I might get using the optimizer. Okay, so good question here. Now, the number one thing I would always do is even if you're going to use sim mode to play cash contests, I would always build as many lineups as your pool allows. This will allow you to find high projected lineups because you are requesting hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of lineups. So number one thing is like you could build the cash optimal by chance because it is a good lineup and you ran so many lineups, right? So like that could be one aspect of it. Or you could run really, you could just build, you know, well projected lineups that may not be the optimal but are really close to it, and it still gets to take in the other aspects of lineup building, like you mentioned, which would be correlation. So that's something that you could definitely experiment with using sim mode, building a big pool of lineups. When you get into the post build, I would be using one of two things. I would either be using Unique's One and Projected Score, or I would be using Unique's One and 50th Percentile. We talked about this a little bit on a recent show, talking about kind of mean versus median, taking it back to math class a little bit there. But 50th percentile is another option that I would consider. So those are your two that I would be looking at. I probably wouldn't be using SaberScore for cash contests. The SaberScore as well as like ROI both rely on ownership projections, and we do not project ownership for cash. So that is why I would stay away from SaberScore or ROI. I would focus on projection or 50th percentile. All right, next question. What type of lineups tend to sim the best for NFL? The highest projected with lowest ownership or something else? Good question. So usually you can play lineups that are kind of on a spectrum. So this is the way I like to kind of describe this. So we're going to make a little graph here. And we're going to this, and on one side we're going to have projection, and on the other side we're going to have ownership. So the point of this is that you can play good lineups anywhere along this spectrum. Now, the what you need to understand about this is saying like, hey, it is okay to play low projected lineups, but it also must have low ownership. Inversely, it's okay to play high owned lineups, but the lineups must be very well projected in order for it to still be a good lineup. Where people mess up is playing lineups that maybe have a high ownership, but a low projection, right? Like a lineup that would fall over here would ultimately not be a great lineup, or a lineup that has, yeah, just like anything where it's like high ownership, low projection, right? That's what you kind of want to avoid. What you're describing is a high projected lineup with low ownership, which would be like over in this area over here, right? That would be an amazing lineup. That would be like awesome. You get high projection, you get low ownership. You know, lineups in this state would grade out super, super good. The problem is it's really hard to find type lineups like that in DFS in 2026. Projections are generally good across the industry here, and people are going to be better at recognizing what are good plays. So yes, this is like the holy grail. If you can find it, awesome. It's going to be a little bit hard to. I would just keep this kind of spectrum in mind where like, hey, we can play high owned, but we got to be high projected, or we could play low projected, but we must be low owned to kind of go along with that. So those are the things that I'm thinking about in regard to like building lineups. All right. This one came in. I answered it, but I wanted to cover it here in case somebody else had a similar question. Said, hey, Andy, where do I go to create player groups? Okay. So if you're trying to build a group, where what I would do is go to rules, go to add new rule, change this or leave the rule type on group, change method to manual. Then you click this edit players button. And I'm going to move out of the way. And then you're basically in your group at this moment. And we want to use these little person icons to pick the group. So maybe I want to pick these top three players. Once I'm done, I click save group. And then I can say use at least one, use no more than one, use exactly one. We have some options here. We have some player options. You can also change the use to if. This is another cool option. Say, hey, if at least one of these players is in my group, then I want to use some other player or something like that, right? There's a lot of if-then kind of opportunities here, but these are the ones that you want to do. I think for most people, it's like, hey, this is like kind of where they want to get to, use at least X from some set of players that they have in mind. So this is where I would start. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Office hours question for tennis. Is it good practice to use the rule, don't use opposing players? Also, when doing any slate, are the default settings, correlation, diversity, salary, good being left at default? One last question. I have changed settings here and there. Does SaberSim save those settings for you? So we're going to take these one at a time. Number one question was, for tennis, is it good practice to use the rule, don't use opposing players? Generally, yes, this is a good rule to use. The only time I would consider leaving it off would probably be like, this is actually a really good example. This late slate, you know, eight matches, that's only 16 players in the player pool. If you didn't use players against each other, you would be very, very limited in the number of lineups that you can create. So I would leave the rule off for like this eight game slate. I would probably leave the rule on for the 16 match slate. So if you go into the rules, if we go over to tennis and we go to a build, We go to rules. We open up the group rules. There is a default rule we make it for you. It says don't use opposing players. Reason that for that is because these players are very have very high negative correlation. Alcaraz to quarantine here has a negative 0.94 correlation. Their outcomes are, the matches are extremely binary, and it's probably not good to play one when because only one of them can win. It's like generally bad. However, when there are very, very few options on the slate, it could make sense. It can help you get unique, can help you to win more of the prize pool. If the match goes long, you know, many, many sets, many games. I'm not super familiar with tennis, but it would be beneficial for you if you could find a player who maybe lost, but they accrued a lot of points along the way. So that can help you significantly. So I would say for single match slates, leave it off. For double digit match slates, I think probably want it on, but those would be my initial impressions there. And that's what I would go with. All right. Question two, when doing any slate, are the default settings good being left at default? The answer would be yes. We do backtest slates of different sizes, and we determine which slider settings work the best for different size slates. So that includes min salary as well. So I would leave those things at the default. All right. Last question. I have changed settings here and there. Does SaberSim save those settings to your next similar slate, or do they default back? So they default back. However, you can save them. So let's say that, you know what? I like playing a higher minimum salary. I actually like my sim diversity to be a little bit lower, and I like to turn off correlation, right? I'm just making up some things here. If this is what I prefer to be my baseline, after I've changed those things, go to this templates in the projection tab, click save template, name it, we'll say my template, and then I click save. The builder is going to remember any filters, rules, slider settings, or changes to min and max salary that I have made. If I open a new build, they're not going to be there. However, I can go into the templates and I can click my template and then it changes it for me. See, my min salary just changed. Also, I could start the template. Now that it's starred, when I open a new build, it's automatically going to apply that template, and we can see it by my min salary change here. So what you probably want to do, make your adjustments, save your template, star your template. Now it will use that one every single time going forward until you unstar the template. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Next question. Chuck said, after many more iterations to my model, I've made a major breakthrough. I've created a portfolio optimizer that takes a different approach from Portfolio Plus, but still arrives at the same place. The diversifier is able to handle large fields and tests my portfolio against different ways than the field lineups could construct. It aims to make my portfolio resilient to ownership variance. Small fields have 50,000 sim iterations, while large fields have 100,000 sim iterations. The diversifier continually dials in my portfolio, yet it's fast enough for NBA DFS. I've already made $20 in CS. Does the winner's circle require SaberSim to currently be supporting the sport? Good question. Let's go over and look at the rules. So in our winner circle, we can go to the rules section. Okay. Have an active SaberSim account. Set your avatar to the SaberSim logo. Tweet a screenshot of your win. Finish top five in a DFS contest for at least $1,000. Prize must be at least 10x the entry fee. Tournament must have at least 100 entrants. Okay, so it says the tournament must be a format SaberSim supports. with projections and an optimizer. So I do not believe CS would count in this case since we do not have projections for it based on the rules. However, I am really happy to hear that your model is working across multiple sports. So CS and NBA, it sounds like. So it sounds like your NBA wins would definitely count, but the CS wins would not. However, winning money is always good. So congratulations. All right. Next question. Which setting do I have to put the slider on to get the most optimal lineup? Okay. So there's two answers to this. Number one is the optimal lineup, right? When people say the optimal lineup in DFS, that usually means the highest scoring lineup possible. Now, in order to find the true highest scoring lineup possible, you would want to build lineups with a correlation 0 and a sim diversity 10. Now, so when the correlation is 1, 2, 3, what we're doing is we're amplifying the natural correlations in the sim. If you click on any player, you'll see some correlation values here. These are the baselines. These are what are get used when the correlation slider is on 0. When correlation is increased, we amplify those correlations effectively. Now, that's the first part. Second part is sim diversity. When sim diversity is on 0, we are using the average score across all the sims for a game. So for instance, we have 25,000 sims of each game on the slate. The average projections that you see in the My Projection column are how the players scored across all of the sims for that game. When we start increasing sim diversity, we're effectively using less and less of the 25,000 sims until we get all the way to 10, where 10 is using one sim of each game on the slate. So 10 is taking one sim of Charlotte, Orlando, one sim of Denver, Washington, one sim of all these other games, playing that out in one slate simulation, and then building the best lineup possible based on how those games played out. That is what we would consider an optimal lineup, the highest scoring lineup possible. Now, there is a difference between an optimal lineup, which we talked about 0-10, and a winning lineup, okay? So notice, or it's like, okay, well, if we want to build optimal lineups, why are your sliders on 1-8 instead of 0-10? That's because in a lot of DFS contests, you normally don't need the optimal lineup to win. You need to find the winning lineup, and that's the key difference. So someone explained this to me once. So let's say you're playing a DFS contest, and first place is $100,000, second place is $50,000, right? Now, let's say that you are in second place and you have 149 points. And the user that's in first has 150 points, but they have no players remaining, right? You still have one player playing. Getting from 149 to 151 and passing them in the standings would be worth $50,000 to you, because you go from 50,000 to 100,000. So getting those 2 points is worth $50,000 to you. Every point after that, going from 151 to 152 to 155 to 160, all of those points are worth $0. You don't make any more money for scoring them, right? So that's kind of the idea between, well, what's going to be easier, finding a lineup that scores 151 or finding a lineup that scores 160? Well, it's going to be easier to find a lineup that scores 151. There's probably going to be a couple more of those lineups available when everything is said and done. So that's why the sliders are not on 0-10 all the time. They're on values that build high upside, high expected value lineups. And they try and help you win the contest that you are optimizing for. So as far as sliders go, yeah, you could try and find the optimal lineup like every single time with 0-10. But you don't have to, right? Our slider settings are set where they are on purpose to give you lineups that are optimized for the number of games on the slate to help you find the winning lineup for whatever contest you are playing. So I would leave the sliders where they are unless you want to experiment. All right. Looking around here, looks like we are all caught up in Discord and YouTube chat. So I think we're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next slate. So until on our next show. So before we do that, one more question. Eric said, seems to me like most of my NBA magic happens post-build slash pre-contest sim out of 5K lineups. How would you suggest filtering out before contest simming? Is there a magic zone? So there's definitely, in my experience, no like one single thing that always leads to the winning lineup, right? I think that you're correct in that your magic happens post-build. So like the way it works, right? We build all the lineups with the game sims, right? You click build, all the lineups get generated. Lineups get built over here. Then the lineups go into the pool. When the lineups go into the pool, we don't know how good they are yet. They have to get ranked. So the lineup building is not building the best lineup, the second best, the third best. It's randomly generating all these lineups. It isn't until the lineups get into the pool that we figure out which ones are the best. That could be with contest sims. That could be by doing the Saber score calculation. That could be as simple as ordering them by projected score, right? The way they were built is not the same order as the highest projected, right? We're still going to need to move them around and kind of reorder them. I think that, well, I know that the contest sims are the strongest part as far as determining how good a lineup actually is. The reason for that is because it's taking into account the exact size of your contest and the exact payout structure, right? Playing a 100-man contest is a lot different than playing a 1,000-man contest. And the contest sim is going to be able to decipher, hey, well, this contest plays better in this small field, and this other contest actually plays better in this large field, right? So the contest sims are very good at figuring out which lineups kind of belong where. As far as like what you can do, right? What you want to do, I would listen to the results that SaberSim gives you, but then I wouldn't be afraid to make some adjustments. Now, my thinking on that is because, you know, there are people who hand build, who like to be very involved in the build process, who like to look at the lineups and kind of tweak them, or like, we call them like hand builder bros, right? Like they like to be very hands-on. And then there are like the optimizer bros who like to click the button, let the tools do what it does, and then just take that and run with it, right? I think the best players are somewhere in the middle where they know how to use the tools. They're very good with them, but they also can intervene when they need to or when they feel like they need to. So there's one side, it's man. There's one side, it's machine. I think the best players can operate or kind of live somewhere in the middle. They take the best parts of what the tools do. They take the best parts of what a person can do, and then they combine them and they build really strong lineups because of it. So don't be afraid to use the tools and then make tweaks, whether that's min-max exposures, whether that's projection adjustments, you know, dialing things in to your liking. All right. Chuck said, now that I think about it, isn't how my diversifier works similar to how SaberSim builds lineups initially? I'm using my game sims to diversify my lineups when compared to the field while still maximizing upside. I don't know all the workings of how your stuff works, but it does sound similar. And I think that if you're using SaberSim as a blueprint to build and use your own tool, like model your own tools after, that's kind of the right approach, right? So like a lot of people talk about how you take the best aspects of like someone, I've heard Shaq talk about this, where he says he would look at how different people do businesses, run businesses. He would take little aspects of all of them, and then he would combine those for his own process, right? What I think is a good thing, right, is Saber, for SaberSim, like you're like, hey, you know, I kind of like the way SaberSim does stuff. I'm going to take some aspects of what they do. I'm going to throw in some of my own flavor. Maybe I've found some other stuff over here that I also like, and then you combine it, right? You're kind of doing that. So yeah, you're taking some aspects of Saber. I think that's great. And combining it with all these other ideas and kind of concepts that you're exposed to and that you know and you want to experiment with, I think that's the right approach for sure. Chuck said, man plus machine approach. Love it. Eric said, thank you for sticking around for me. Much appreciated. Yeah, no problem at all. All right. Looks like we're all set. Appreciate you guys. Good luck tonight for playing some DFS, and I will see you all tomorrow. Till then, take care. Thanks. Bye.